I'm your number one fan.
Today I'm going to start with number one. Now you feel like
number one. I'm coming for that number one spot.
Number one.
Chicago Blackhawks are number one. What's up, everybody, and welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. J-Hood on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show. Cap is off today. So glad you're with us here on this Tuesday morning. Open phone lines for you, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. Thanks so much for keeping the conversation going and watching our show on Twitch. And yes, the Blackhawks are number one. It's been a rough road, especially if you're a Chicago sports fan or Chicago Blackhawks fan, but the Blackhawks finally did it. In the NHL draft lottery yesterday, the Hawks have an opportunity to get a phenom in Connor Bedard. The Hawks last selected the first overall pick in 2007 when they took winger Patrick Kane. Chicago had the third best odds to win the first overall pick this year at 11.5%. So there you are, an opportunity here to get the number one pick, and from everything that we read, that should be Connor Bedard. He's a 17-year-old, has played in the WHL, the Regina Pats, 134 goals in 3 years that he scored. He's 17. And before you say, wait a minute, he's 17 years of age. Like, what is he got? Like, he's going to be on the ice sooner than later for the Chicago Blackhawks. I want you to think about how Kyle Davidson, the general manager, and the Blackhawks decided to commit to this rebuild this season. Fully commitment. And here's what I like about it. Kyle Davidson told you, face-to-face, told Blackhawks fans, Chicago sports fans, yeah, we're going to rebuild this thing, and use the word. You know how many years it took for Kenny Williams, for the White Sox, to say, we're going to stay out of White Sox business? Wouldn't say it. Because that sends a message to the organization that we're not doing well, and so we have to reimagine the organization. We can't say rebuild. We're just saying, you know, we're just going to have a little spackle here and put some 2x4s up there and then get in a position where we can succeed again. No, Kyle Davidson said we're going to rebuild. As a lifelong Chicagoan and a Chicago sports fan, I never think that teams in our city should rebuild or to tank. To me, it's all the same thing. When you are rebuilding, meaning that you don't have the assets, you don't have the players or the wherewithal or the money to be able to build a championship. So what do teams do today? They tear it down to the studs and they say, we're going to start over. It is a game plan. And even though I don't like it, I can't fight City Hall in that regard. I can't fight fans or media that says this is the right thing to do. If you're just running in pace in place as an organization, then it's time to be able to do something different. I totally understand why organizations do that. I don't like it. I hold my nose to it. But again, there's examples of that working. And I'll start with the Chicago Cubs. It's a perfect example. When I look at the Cubs, when right after the Cubs won their last playoff game, it was 2008, I believe. From 2009 to 2014, the Cubs underachieved, they tanked, whatever it was not good enough. And Theo Epstein said, this is going to hurt a little bit because we have to be able to find the right players through free agency. And I'll tell you one thing about Theo Epstein. If you got an open checkbook, he'll spend it. It's one thing to be able to build through the draft, but also in free agency or trades, Theo was very good at that. He rebuilt the Boston Red Sox that way. And when Theo came to Chicago, I said to Cub fans and Sox fans alike, I said, the Cubs are about to win the World Series. And even my buddy Sylvie's like, hey, there's no way that that's going to happen. Because he never saw that. My Cub fans' friends never saw that. Like, no, there's no way that's going to happen. The Cubs, they'll never win a World Series in my lifetime. And I said, I saw it from an American League standpoint. as a Chicago White Sox fan, what he did with the Red Sox. I said, he's going to come here. And I said, if Theo Epstein can't win a championship with the Cubs, it's never going to happen. I said, that guy knows how to be able to build a winner. And guess what? He did. And a perennial playoff team, the Chicago Cubs were. There are some mistakes that were made in 2018, 2019, and moving forward. But here are the Cubs spending money post-pandemic to get themselves in a position to try to contend again. They're just okay right now. They're just an okay team. They're not. I don't think they're ready to win this year, but next year they should. But the best step forward is $300 million in payroll that they added this past offseason. But again, 542 losses between 2009 and 2014 is a lot. But I think also the temerity for organizations to say, hey, we're going to tank, but we want your season ticket money. Keep coming out because eventually we're going to win. This is not a guarantee. Hell, a non-tanking season is not a guarantee to win a championship, as you well know. But that's a lot of losses. Same thing with the Chicago Bears. We talk about them on a daily basis here on the Home of the Bears, ESPN 1000. We talk about them a lot because we talk about something we haven't seen before, and that is taking the franchise all the way down to its studs, selling off or trading off pieces. We talked about this yesterday from the Mark Potash piece from the Sun Times of saying, man, as much as I like Roquan Smith, they decided to move on from Roquan Smith and they added better linebackers that fit what they're trying to do. I like Akeem Hicks, but the Bears said we're going to move on. Khalil Mack, possibly a Hall of Famer. They moved on from him. Allen Robinson, they moved on from him because you weren't winning with them. I'm sure from Ryan Pohl's standpoint, he's like, let's just get younger assets or veteran talent in here, and then we're going to build through the draft, and we're going to do this, quote-unquote, the right way. Now, that's kind of the same thing as saying trust the process in Philadelphia, of saying we are going to do this the right way, meaning that we're not going to spend a whole bunch of money and just try to plug a bunch of holes to get to the playoffs, only not to be in the playoffs the next 5 years. He wants to build this the right way, meaning that the Bears tanked. That's exactly what they did. Now, when we had Ryan Poles on, he won't use the word rebuild, but with a wink and a nod, you know that that's where the direction of this ball club last year was. That's why they lost by design. When people are calling Cap and I and saying, oh, yep, no question, 9-10 wins, I said, have you seen this roster? Justin Fields learning on the job? The offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, learning on the job? Head coach learning on the job, Eberflus, general manager learning on the job. Everyone's a neophyte here. Everyone's learning at the same pace. And so the Bears have made a decision, just like the Blackhawks has made a decision. Shay Norling asked a question earlier about exactly, you know, when you take a look at the Bears and what the Hawks are doing, what the Cubs are doing, do you feel like there's kind of a renaissance or there is the arrow pointing up the right direction for Chicago sports? And I think, Shay, you hit it on it, and I think that's pretty true, that things are turning up in a good way because you have to be optimistic for the future.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I moved to Chicago in 2020, so I haven't been here for a long time. And I feel like I've seen a lot of the doldrums, like with the way that these teams have been, especially maybe the past calendar year, with no playoff trip, not counting the Bulls making the play-in, obviously. But right now, it feels like, look, the Cubs are fun, yeah. Whether they're going to win this year or not. I think they're not, but they're at least entertaining and on the up. The Bears, I think we all think, are on the... they're still in the rebuild process, but they're getting better. And now the Blackhawks get the number one pick and a generational talent. Somebody like Hood, you know I'm not a hockey guy.
Right.
I'm going to tune into Blackhawks games to watch Connor Bedard. He's that exciting. This is like I'll watch Edmonton occasionally because I want to see Connor McDavid. When you get a guy who's doing Gretzky-type things, I have to watch that. So when we see a generational talent is coming into the city, that's exciting whether you're a hockey fan or not. I think, frankly, this is the best I've felt about Chicago sports in a long time.
Only because the arrow's pointing up, and hopefully... When you look at young guys like who's 17, this Bedard, and then building towards something special, you know what we look at? We look at hope. That's what we have as Chicago sports fans. We have hope. But I want something beyond hope. You know what I want? I want to see something tangible. I want to see championships. I want to see teams in the playoffs on a regular basis because that means that you're building towards something. That means that you're already a winner. Now, how can you enhance your winning? And so that's what I want to see for the teams. Kyle Davidson, the general manager for the Chicago Blackhawks, getting that number one pick.
I think I just said, wow. You know, it's because you know, you understand the impact that a first overall pick can have. And having a first overall pick in the right year. And, you know, hopefully that's what we've got here. And, you know, it can change a franchise. It can change, change a city. And it can change an era in a team's history. And so there's a lot of weight to that and a lot of significance to that. And when that card, that number one card flipped over and it was our logo, that's kind of hits you all at once because you think about it in the lead up and you think about what could be, and you don't let yourself go there that often because chances were that we weren't going to see that come to fruition. But yeah, when our logo flipped over there, it's wow.
I guess my ultimate point out of all of this is that you should not have to be able to tank in this city. You shouldn't have to. You should be able to be a team that can build through your draft and free agency and build on what you have. Again, everyone's not blessed to win a championship in all the sports. I get that. But it's a shame that you have to do it this way. Now, again, I can't fight it because I understand that this is a button that some teams have to push. Some are successful in pushing that button and some are not. It's hard to tank in the National Football League and be a perennial winner. And it's worked for some, but not for all. This is what the Bears are trying to do right now. They're doing taking a different direction that we've never seen or have not seen in a long time. Not since the late 70s, early 80s with this Chicago Bears team. My point is that in this city, shouldn't have to do that. But this is exactly what they have to do. So I can't say, hey, don't tank, stop, you know, don't. I mean, it's happening now. It's happening with the Blackhawks. They're taking a phenom who's 17 years of age. So ultimately, the question I would have for you is this. And let's open the phone line, Shay. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Two of our four major teams got number one picks. Was it worth what it took to do it? Is it worth tanking to be able to get to where you need to be? I always say, I expect our teams to win. But again, the old slippery slope is that, hey, we're going to tank, but I need your money. Hey, just so you know, I'm not guaranteeing anything, but here's, I need your money for season tickets. I need that. And so that's the risk that we have, the risk and reward that we have as Chicago sports fans. So I want to get your thoughts on that, the idea of tanking and whether or not you love what the Blackhawks are doing, because the Blackhawks are number one. They got the number one pick yesterday. So we'll talk about that. Also still to come, it's not spring trading. It's spring cleaning. We'll talk about it at 9:35. We'll explain that as we move forward here on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Cap and J-Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Yeah, I can't fight it when it comes to tanking. Listen, it's out there now. I'm not going to fight against it because teams have found a path. You say, okay, well, we've had a dead end, and so instead of getting more free agents and getting, you know, draft picks that could help you, some teams say, I'm just going to trade all of our assets, and we're going to go a whole different direction. And again, nothing's guaranteed, but that is a button that you can push. As we talk about it here on Cap and J Hood here on ESPN 1000 and also on the ESPN Chicago app, that same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find Crosstalk Unhinged Waddle. Absolutely. The guys work blue. They are not the boys in blue. It's Carmen and Yurko and Waddle and Sylvie. Check them out. Crosstalk Unhinged, available now on the ESPN Chicago app. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. Still to come on the show. It's not spring trading. It is spring cleaning that we're going to talk about. And so Shay Norling, and I guess we all need some help. And we'll explain that coming up at 9:35 right here on ESPN 1000. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. I want to get your thoughts about this tanking issue. This is how the Blackhawks got the number one pick, because 116 losses from the last time that the Hawks were in the playoffs. It was just going nowhere fast because you know that the door had completely closed on the Quinville McDonough administration. Got three Stanley Cups, which is cool. Never thought I'd see that in my lifetime. As an 80s Hawks fan, you know, watching Savard and Secord and Larmer, Bannerman, those guys, I mean, I didn't think it'd ever get any better than that. And it got much better than that with those three championships. Even the teams in the 90s, you know, the Chelioses and the Ed Belfours, he thought, okay, you know, maybe, right? But now the Hawks are in this position where they have the number one pick, a 17-year-old phenom. And they're going to build on this, and hopefully there'll be sustained success and more good times. The Hawks win the Stanley Cup championship. It took over the city. Three Stanley Cup championships, the window was wide open. But again, like I said many times, I can't fight the tanking thing because it's in the bloodstream of sports teams. It doesn't work. We failed. And so we're going to start over. My whole point to that is, though, if like they say this about the Bulls. I'll use them quickly as an example, the Bulls. Some would say, oh, the Chicago Bulls, well, you know, what they should do is get rid of LaVine, and they should get rid of DeRozan, and they should tank. You trust this organization to be able to redo this franchise? That's the whole thing I don't like about that, is that some say, well, start over. Well, do you trust the GM and the ownership to be able to get it right? If they couldn't get it right the first time, why would you trust them a second or third time? One bite of the apple is enough. Taylor in Hyde Park leads us off here on 9 o'clock hour here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Taylor.
Hey, what's up, Hoodie? How you doing?
Good, man. How's business?
It's good as always, man. Open up a new store near Broadview, so come through on the west side, man. Come through when you get a chance.
Oh, that's nice. I like it. I like it, Broadview.
Look, I had this whole thing about the draft. I think the draft should be eliminated from all North American sports. I think it causes tanking. You basically, teams get rewarded for strategic losing. But to your point about the Bulls, and I'm going to relate that to the Blackhawks, let's be clear. I don't think the Blackhawks, if they got the number five pick, this would be a whole different conversation. I don't think they are literally the GM is built enough to actually rebuild this team the way it's supposed to be built. And so, you know, when you look at the history, there was a five-year window where you let Taves wither away for nothing. You let go of Kane literally for nothing. You let go of Panarin, the bread man, for nothing. And so we got literally super lucky. It is all luck of the draw, and that's it.
True.
Like, I don't think this organization, as of right now, was actually built to rebuild this thing if they didn't get the number one draft pick.
Did you call Panarin the bread man? I think that's what you just said.
Yeah, for sure. The bread man. You know, he's dropping dimes, man.
That's pretty funny. Uh-huh.
Yeah, so from that perspective, obviously it's exciting because the number one pick. But in reality, if they got the number five pick, we'd be sitting here talking about all the bad things they've done up to this point. And so I think, you know, honestly, this is a simple answer. I think the draft should be eliminated from all North American sports.
Yes.
Allow these players to go anywhere they want to go. Allow the salary cap to dictate who can go where. And put these players in the best position possible. Because all teams are not created equal. All teams don't have the exact same facilities. The coaches are different. You know, so different players will thrive in different environments. So in my mind, I think tanking is just a horrible example of how not to be smart about actually building an organization.
Do you think the draft's un-American?
I do, because, look, these players, especially in, like, basketball and, you know, and even, like, in hockey, these players get to choose where they go to high school. They get to choose their AAU teams. They get to choose their colleges. And then you put them in a draft where their position, their style of play might not match up well with the coaching staff. And, again, all these teams are not built the same.
All right, Taylor. Glad you checked in. Appreciate your phone call. No draft. How about that? No draft.
What are you going to do? Okay, here. This is, I always hear this, and it's dumb. Like, I get it's an imperfect system. Respectfully, Taylor. I get it's an imperfect system that the draft rewards losing, quote unquote, because you get the better pick and the better player if you're the worst team. If we got rid of the draft and there was just free agency, where do you think all the players would go?
The good teams.
They'd go to L.A. and New York and Miami and good teams. And bad teams or poorly run teams would have even less of a shot than they do with a draft. Like, the Charlotte Hornets are not getting LaMelo Ball in their dreams.
No, they're
if
not.
There's no draft.
No. But we had a caller earlier that said that they'd like to be able to do the draft differently. Not, don't reward bad teams with good players.
I mean, but if it's no draft, you'll have these teams out here at Export Fitness, you know, looking for the next best thing.
That's right. That's right. Because, like, especially these teams that's in the middle to the bottom and these smaller markets.
Right.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah. So the haves would have all the good players and all the major markets, and then the middle to the bottom markets would have nothing. got to have a draft.
Right.
Look, like our caller said earlier on the 7 o'clock hour, I'm sorry, sir, I can't remember your name, but it was a really good call. Because the caller said that, you know, stop rewarding bad teams with good draft picks. And I can understand turning the draft around that way, Jay Moore, where it's like, okay, Pittsburgh Pirates, all right, or whatever, or Kansas City, or the bad teams in sports. Okay, so you're not going to be rewarded just in and tank or not try. Again, we can mix metaphors all we want. When you're not trying, we're not adding on, when you are not trying to be competitive on purpose, everyone can see it. It may not be the word tanking, but it's something. When you're not trying, and ask Shea, he would know. When teams are not putting out quality free agency money, when you're not drafting well, when you are bad as a front office, you call it what you want. Tanking, trying to rebuild, standing still, whatever you want to try to increase your chances to have a top draft pick, that's what it is.
Sometimes,
it's all the same phrase.
Sometimes it's also just being bad. But, like, again, the point I would make, Cody, is I wish the Bulls would have done this with Wembanyama. I wish they would have gotten this bad and just understood that you're either in the middle and you're gonna struggle to move up from the middle, or you hit the bottom and maybe you get this generational player. I wish they would have done this. The fact that the Blackhawks did this, I'm willing to embrace it and just say I love it, because you recognize the writing on the wall that this is how you have to do to get back to being at the top. And now you have this generational kid. Like, yeah, if they got the fifth pick, we'd all go, well, that may not have been worth it. But they've honestly done a fairly good job. They've one of the better farm systems in the NHL.
But again, I want you to hear me clearly, because I've said this many times, Shay. Hear me clearly. I said you can tank if you'd like. Go ahead and do that. But what I'm saying is that if the Bulls want to tank for Wembanyama, fine. But not with this front office. You got to think about some of the top draft picks or some of the top players or free agents. Could you imagine what could the Bulls do at Wembanyama? Honest to God, like
a
that.
Lot.
Well, no, they could not.
Why? But why? Like this is the same argument we used to get in about the Bears. It's like, just because it's the B or whatever on the helmet.
No,
I'd rather have the lottery ticket and the player than just be like, we're going to do nothing anyway. So screw it. Let's be in the middle.
Here's my point. If you think that the front office of the Bulls, and we're talking about Karnachovas and Eversley, if you think they're boobs now, they have the number one pick. Okay, so do they know how to build around a guy like that? You don't do it by osmosis. You got to think. You got to have a good organization to do that. New eyes on the organization. Tank if you want, but the idea that you're going to run it back with the same front office that got you in this ineptitude is nonsense.
But I don't know if they can build it. And
I do.
I'll never know because they didn't do it.
I do.
How? They haven't. They've been like, yes, they failed with Levine, but they were also handcuffed into having to do that. If they had decided to try to get rid of him at the deadline and pick a lane and then get into being terrible and you get Wembanyama, then we find out. And if they fail, you fire them. But if you get the generational guy, this is like, well, the Cavs shouldn't have tanked for LeBron.
Go ahead. I can't say it more than the 18 times I've said it on the show. I have no problem with teams tanking if that's what the direction they want to take it. I just say that if front offices have shown you that they can't dig themselves out of a hole, why keep trusting them? That's just beating your head against the wall. If you rant and rave and you tweet and you get on social media and talk about these guys need to be fired, these guys need to give up. Oh, we got the number one pick. Oh, everything's fine now. Not with the same organization. No, absolutely not.
So you think they'll just mess it up?
I don't trust them.
I get it.
Why should I trust them? You got it in this hole to start with.
But
why should I?
You don't need to trust them. Like, if they, reason I don't trust them is because they didn't pick a lane. If they had picked a lane back in February and either said, we're going to try to get good and win as much as we can, or we're going to be bad and go for the top pick, then I would have had the faith.
The problem is
they didn't do that, and now I don't trust them.
All right, tell my wallet that I shouldn't trust them.
But what do you mean? Like, if they get the generational player, then the following season you can be happy.
Hold on. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do I mean?
Like,
I just laid it out for you. What do you mean? What do I mean is that you just can't tell people, yes, tank, get that number one pick, and then trust the front office that you want fired.
But would you have wanted them
and pay through the nose for it?
But if they had come out in February and said, we're picking a lane and this is why, this is the process that we believe in, would you have trusted them? Or do you not trust them now because they didn't do it and the season ended in a colossal failure?
I just don't think that this is the front office to be able to foster that type of change. And another reason why, and I'm using the Bulls as an example, is because they picked a lane and they got rid of a lot of young assets, the Bulls did, and they got a head coach that was trying to win now. That's what Billy Donovan's here for. You think Billy Donovan wants to coach a bunch of young kids to 15 wins? That's not who he is. People want him out too. I just think that if you're going to make that change, then everything should change. If you're going to pick a philosophy, find someone that can work with a young talent like Wembanyama instead of just the same old, same old. If you don't trust a front office to get the job done initially, why keep them around for another regime?
Kind of what the Bears did, right?
That's exactly what they did. They took a different direction, and they got a new president, a new general manager for all of this. I got no problem with that. 312-332-3776 is our telephone number. Let me squeeze in Mark in Barrington on ESPN 1000. All right, Mark.
Hey, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. So, I mean, I used to work for the Phoenix Suns way back in the early 2000s.
And, you did?
Yeah, and tanking back then was, I mean, it wasn't really necessarily tanking, but, you know, we went from the worst team in basketball to the best team in basketball. What they did is they got rid of Jason Kidd when he had the family issues and things like that, traded him out east, brought in Stephon Marbury, drafted Sean Marion, drafted Amari Stoudemire, got Steve Nash, traded for Joe Johnson, and built it that way after so-called tanking back then, went from the worst team in basketball to 62 wins. Now, it never paid off to a championship, but I was selling season tickets back at the time, and you mentioned earlier about how do you sell it to the fan base. Well, in 2001, the Diamondbacks had just won the World Series.
That's right.
So everybody wanted Diamondback tickets, and the Suns were going through what they were going through, and everybody kept telling us, why would I buy tickets to you guys? You're 10 times more expensive, and they just won the World Series. And our pitch was, because at some point, you're going to want to get in because this team's going to turn around and be good, and you won't be able to get tickets. And sure enough, that happened, and we basically all sold ourselves out of a job.
You worked for the Suns? I didn't know that, Mark.
Of course. How would you know?
You've been calling before. I just didn't know. That's pretty cool. I like the insight. Thank you very much for your phone call. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. I could dig into your sports past, Shay, and you can look at front offices that you know you did not trust. And you said they should go in a different direction. Even though I can go through your social media and find general managers, won't say the name, but general managers.
No, you can say it. Al Avila should have been fired 8 years ago. Okay. He should have been tucked into a little bag and shipped out. But that I knew. Like, you traded Justin Verlander for a guy you didn't get any of the top five prospects from the team that you traded him to. That's very clearly, you don't know what you're doing. That's like if the Bulls traded LaVine and didn't get anything back. They trade LaVine for cash considerations. Okay, you don't know what you're doing. But my point is, at least pick a lane, and then we can find out if you've got a clue. The way they didn't pick a lane, now I know they don't have a clue.
I just feel like it's Gar Packs all over again, because I feel like the organization is standing still. And so, like, and again, this is a thing on the Reinsdorfs. Like, I have no idea if that's the direction they want to go. That could be the Reinsdorfs saying, let's not do this. And that might not be smart business, but again, how many times have I said loyalty to a fault that hurts the business? Said that's on the Sox and the Bulls side.
I just wish they would have, because if you look in the city, like, the Cubs ripped it down and got a World Series out of it. The Bears ripped it down and got the number one pick, and we feel so good about the future.
Yeah.
The Blackhawks ripped it down, and now they're getting a generational player. And you look at the Bulls, and they didn't rip it down, and they're just stuck in hell.
Yeah. Sports hell is the worst. There's no question about that. We're not spring trading, spring cleaning. We have a question to ask you. I think this will, we're going to kind of dip into your closet, if you'll pardon the expression. That's coming up next on the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show.
Here's today's headline with Cap and J-Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The Hawks are number one. Expectation is that the Blackhawks will select Connor Bedard. Bedard is a potential franchise-altering player as the Blackhawks get the number one pick. Hawks fans, you've got to be excited about that, because the future now is bright with the 17-year-old kid, Bedard. Sox lost the home opener. I'm sorry, the opener in Kauffman Stadium, 12-5 yesterday in Kansas City. Dylan Cease allowed 7 runs on 9 hits. The Cubs lost the opener to the Cardinals, 3-1. Wilson Contreras happy to be back at Wrigley, maybe.
Even though I'm wearing a different uniform, that doesn't mean that I don't love them, because they know that I love them. They know that I'm really thankful with the fan base. and the old support that I got the last 6 years, and still having support from them, it means a lot to me. I'll say that if there is something in the past that got in some fans' feeling or people's feeling, I really apologize. But
he apologizes for saying that the Cardinals are better organization than the Cubs. The Cubs will play St. Louis tonight at 6:40. The Sox will take on Kansas City at 6 o'clock right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. That same ESPN Chicago app in which you can find White Sox Weekly with Connor McKnight. Need more Sox talk? We have it for you available now on the ESPN Chicago app. Look for White Sox Weekly. We'll cross-talk with Bleck and Abdallah coming up at 10 o'clock as they're in for Mike Greenberg. So this is, I think, a question that many ask when it comes to this time of year. So it's May 9th. And so for a lot of households, it's spring cleaning, when you're just trying to look around and say, okay, I can give this away, I can clean this up. Garages, you want to sweep it out, all the dirt and the leaves from the winter. You want to get it all straightened out and ready to go. Well, Shay, when it comes to spring cleaning, that's something that I'm very familiar with, because every spring around this time, you look around and say, okay, you can upgrade the wardrobe. You know, get rid of some shirts, some shorts, pants, whatever, give them to somebody. But I think that all of us have this penchant to be able to hold on, right? Not necessarily like some of these cable shows where they're hoarders or super hoarders, where there's stuff all the way to the ceiling holding all the things, right? I don't think I would classify myself as hoarder, but there's some things that I hold on to. I'm sure you got the same thing.
Yeah, I was going through, well, it's getting warmer out, so I'm trying to get some of the summer clothes out, and I was going through the closet and I found some shirts from years ago that don't fit me anymore. You know, I've been trying to work out a little more and lose some of this weight that I've put on in the COVID era.
It says that you're in the best shape of your life. Go ahead.
Well, you know, every spring training. So I'm like going through these, and my wife's with me, and she's like, some of these shirts you haven't worn in years, they don't fit. I know you like them and they're fine, but you got to throw them out. And I'm there thinking, I love this shirt, I'm going to lose weight and get back into it. And she hits me with the reality check. You're never going to do that.
Aww. Yeah, what kind of?
And I'm like, well, at least let me live in this hopeful world where you're going to lose the weight and get into it. And she's like, the reality of that happening, just get rid of the shirt. You don't need it. Am I crazy hanging on to this?
No, I think it's okay to hang on to it, because there's some memories there, like memories before her. So there's some memories there with some of those clothing, the clothes you have, right? That's like from college.
Memories with her, too, yeah.
Never mind about that.
No.
But you want the better times. I'm talking about a single and free Shay Norling out there for everybody. Hello, everybody. I'm Shay Norling.
That's back right. In the day.
That's right. That's right. A handsome Shay Norling out there for everybody. Just swinging it. I'm just telling you, Shay, that there's some memories attached. Now, is this college stuff?
Early marriage stuff? It's not that far back, but it's, you know, like probably 2016 is probably about as old as it gets. And it's older stuff, but it, like, size large. Dude, last time I fit in a large, that feels like decades ago.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm like, this is the hope. If I hang on to this, then I have a goal to strive for. I'll lose the weight, and I'll get back into this. Some of the jeans and old pants that I have that I loved, that I wore out all the time, that I could fit into, I'm holding on to hope. I'm going to get back into these.
Brother, if I can get into a 2X, man, that would be a small miracle. Now, I'm not a dream killer for anybody or for myself, but my God, there's some shirts there that just, you know, it just fits just right, and that's no good because it rolls up on you like a window shade. Hey, look, my belly button's playing peekaboo, right? It fits fine, and all of a sudden, it just rolls up. Hello, kitty. Well, that's no good. Can't have that. You don't understand that, Jay Moore. Like, you have a shirt on. It's like, oh, this fits fine. And then all of a sudden you sit down, and all of a sudden it rolls up on you like an old newspaper.
Here's what you do. Like, I know if you're a fan of Luther Vandross, yes.
Yes.
He was once skinny.
Yes.
And he was once heavy.
Yes.
So what I do is I just have two sets of wardrobes. I have my Luther skinny.
Uh-huh.
And I have my Luther now. And I'm always looking at the Luther skinny.
Uh-huh.
'Cause someday I'm going to be that guy again.
That's Jay Moore. You just spoke to my soul. In college, uh-huh, I was a larger, like in high school, I was playing sports and I was small. Then I went to college and the freshman 30 hit me.
Yeah.
Then I came back from college and I got very small again. Mm-hmm. So I have like three sets of lives where I'm now what I am. I used to be skinny. And I look at my skinny wardrobe and I'm like, I got to hang on to that. Because yes, one day I'm going to wear those again. But am I just being nuts?
No, you're not being nuts, because I have a special drawer of T-shirts that I've not worn here at the station, and rightfully so, because I don't want the old T-shirts rolling up on everybody and, you know, me being arrested for being obscene. It'll be belly shirts on
fits
me.
It's like a bra.
Yeah, exactly. Be like right here, like that's no good. So I'm not going to do that, Shay Norling, but I have a special set, a special drawer for those things, those T-shirts. Like, I'm going to fit in those at some point. But for her to be a dream killer, saying that, oh, you'll never get there. Well, wait a minute now. How does she know?
Is that foul? She knows me. She's lived with me for like 5 years.
Yeah.
She knows me. She's hitting me with the reality check. Honey, I know you think you're going to do it, but you're not.
I
get rid of the clothes.
No.
Was that a foul on her?
I think so. I think that she should be able to support you in this and saying, you know what, hon? I'm going. No, that's Cap, hon. You know what, honey? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to fit back in these clothes. And guess what? I'm going to tell you, take that once I get there. Once I fit in those clothes, I'm going to say, I told you so. So here's a question for you. 312-332-3776, our phone number. Do you have those clothes that you say, I'm going to fit in those at some point? Or do you give them away? Because instead of just saying, this is the size I'm going to be, I'll never change, don't you have those clothes in the back of your mind, back of the closet, back of the dresser? You're like, you know what? At some point, I'm going to fit in those. And they have sentimental value. So do you have that? I know I have it. Shay has it. Jay Moore has his skinny clothes. He's got before, middle, and after, just like I do.
Our friend Vic just made a great call. She wanted to talk to me, saying, and I think this is what my wife is getting at too, when the weight comes off, I'm not going to want to get into my old clothes. I'm going to want to go shopping and get new clothes that fit in that size. So that's the motive. Again, I'm too sexy. That's where I'm going to be.
Going back to sexy snarling. Yes.
I'm going to want to get up to the latest trends, get all the fashion stuff going.
Uh-huh. The latest trends.
That's a fair point. That's valid. If that's the path my wife's taking of, we'll just get you new clothes, I think that's fair.
Yeah, but she's setting an arrow through your heart, though. Like, you'll never fit in those. Get them out of here. We need more room for my shoes.
Honey, this is a 34 waist. Let's be realistic. let's live in reality for a moment.
I have that special drawer. And one day, I'm going to be able to fit in those, that shirt, and it's going to be, like, great. It won't be able to flip up on me. It's going to be great. Do you have that? At ESPN1000 on Twitter, and 312-332-3776. Yes, it's okay to give away to, like, the homeless or those that need, but there's those special shirts. You're like, I'm going to keep those. I'm going to fit in that one day. So, again, we want to get your thoughts on that. We got the Cap and Jay Hood cut of the day right around the corner as well. I'm too sexy. Jay Hood right here on Chicago's home for sports.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday mornings at 7 here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Now time for the Captain Jay Hood Cut of the Day, and it's brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Yes, Chicago Cut Steakhouse. You're looking for a great place to take clients, take family, take yourself for lunch or dinner. That's the spot. Ask for David Flom at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. All right, Jay Moore.
Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
We say good morning. Touche, W. Norling. Good morning, boys. How you doing, Hoodie?
I'm fine, thank you. Why am I called W? That makes no sense.
It's literally my middle initial. I don't know how we got there, but he might have just gotten lucky. I don't know what it is.
Oh, I'm sure he looked it up. He's the nosiest man in America. Well, so I'm sure he looked it up. Went to Social Security office.
He was doing a background check on me.
Yeah, be careful, that guy.
He knows everything about my life now.
That's why, again, I say this all the time, Jay Moore. You just don't tell everybody everything. Because, like, I'll be going on vacation in a couple of weeks. You think I'm going to tell him where I'm going so he could track me down the hotel? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You know this, Shay. When I'm gone, I'm gone. I'm unplugged, right? Absolutely. Yep. But I'm not going to tell him where I'm going so he could track me down.
I'll post pictures later.
Yeah. Right. Safer that way. That's how I do that. Can't tell him anything. He tracked down that man's middle initial. Didn't even offer it, Shay. Didn't even offer it.
Somehow he's going to figure out the code to my lockbox and just be in my apartment one night when I get home.
Do, 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 do.
I just wanted to talk to my executive producer.
Oh, man. Don't let him do it to you. Don't let him do it to you. I'll always share with the audience. But him, no. Because he'll try to figure it out. And I'm just, you know what? There's going to be closed doors everywhere. Got to remember that, Shay. Because he'll get your Social Security number. I'm just telling you.
I need his, right? If we're being honest.
All that money, that old TV money just sitting around. I'm just chilling. No, you're not. You're making money. That's why he's overseas now.
And that's all, folks.
And that is the Cap'n J. Hood Cut of the Day, brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom, that's the guy that you go to. Check it out. It's right there in downtown Chicago. Beautiful. Either indoors or outdoors, Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Today, it's a couple of them. Jay Moore, today is National Sleepover Day. National Sleepover Day. Now, when we were coming up, we did not call it sleepovers. It was just, is someone going to spend the night, right?
Yep.
Yeah, the sleepover, when does that come across? When did that come, like 2000? It was never a sleepover when we were coming up. It was just like...
Yeah, probably in the early 2000s.
Yeah, that's the first time that I heard it. If it was relatives or neighbors... They were friends of yours. They would stay over. It wouldn't be sleepover. It's just like, hey, so-and-so's going to spend the night. Okay, go on. No problem.
I don't know if I ever called it a sleepover. Like, I'm having a sleepover. Mm-hmm. But I would ask if friends could sleep over. That was...
That seems like a newer term. It wasn't a term when I was a kid. I just tell you that. Or Jay Moore was a kid. Sleepover.
It was just spend the night.
Yeah, so-and-so's going to spend the night. All right, cool. That would be the end of that. Can we come over for a sleepover?
No, but you can spend the night.
Sleepover. Also today, guys, is National Lost Sock Memorial Day. Now, you know, it is amazing. There's got to be something to be said about that, the Lost Sock Memorial Day. It's weird. You put your clothes in the wash. You put your clothes in the dryer. And you got, okay, we're folding up the socks. Wait a minute, there's a sock missing. Where do these socks go? It's one thing to be in the laundromat, like a public laundromat, and it's like some jackalone, like opened up your dryer and took a sock out. But why are the socks missing? What do you get all your socks when you dry them? Is always a sock missing?
It is, but you know what you just did, right?
What's that?
You just opened a window. Now there's going to be some group that's going to advocate for the lost sock.
Well, there's groups for everything else, right?
Right.
I mean, seriously, you can wash your clothes like and be diligent in that, and all of a sudden one of your socks is missing. That makes no sense. It's National Lost Sock Day. Where does the extra sock go? That is an actual thing. So I don't understand why that is the case. And also for food, to make sure that you get into that special shirt of yours, Norling, today is also National Butterscotch Brownie Day. So if you're into brownies,
it's not going to work for me.
Yeah, you can get in that shirt either easy with a nice brownie. National Butterscotch Brownie Day. Easy for you to get into that 1X that you've been waiting for a long time. All right, guys, we thank you so much for listening and calling and twitching and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. We thank Albert Breer for being with us here as our special guest. That podcast is available right now on the ESPN Chicago app. Look for Cap and Jay Hood and click it right there. Thank you, Shay. Thank you, Jay Moore. And thank you for being part of the show. Let's do this tomorrow, Wednesday, between 7 and 10 right here on ESPN 1000. I think we're working with Courtney Cronin tomorrow. At least I think that's what's happening. So for Cap, I'm Jay Hood. Thanks for checking out the show here on Chicago's Home for Sports. So long, everybody. From Chicago.